Welcome to this week's episode of the World of Roofing podcast, hosted by John Kenny of Cotney's Attorneys and Consultants and Andrew Rowley of roofmapping.com, where we will introduce you to a new roofing industry craftsman from around the world.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome to another episode of World in Roofing. Again, we look forward to bringing you some of the most exciting and prominent tradespeople around the world. And so far, I believe we've delivered very well, seen a lot of great compliments out there. I know I've enjoyed each and every one of them. We've had fantastic guests up to now, and we've got another great guest coming up here. Looking forward to it. Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. Yeah, all recovered from COVID. So it's come and gone, thankfully. So looking forward to the weather getting a little bit nicer now. We've got rid of all these storms in the country. Hopefully we'll get those subdued. But yeah, really excited to meet and talk with Sam today and listen to his story. So Sam's sort of a new contact for me, but I've sort of known him through the industry. I've seen some of his posts, but yeah, we sort of made contact. So it's really great to hear from him. So if we want to hand straight over to you, Sam, you can tell us your story.
Yeah, thanks for that. Great to be here. I've discovered this podcast while perusing Spotify, and I have to say I listened to it all pretty much in one dump. I think you've had some amazing guests. So honoured to be here, to be honest, and tell my story. So I'll just get straight into it. So my name is Sam. I'm 33 years old. I'm an estimator in the roofing industry. Didn't always want to be one. I've heard a lot of your previous guests say you sort of fall into roofing. And we'll come to that as I go through my timeline. So I finished school with 11 GCSEs. Now, I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I finished school, but my family business has always been construction. So what I did when I finished school is I had a year out and just went working on the tools, as they say. But I suppose I'm more a glorified labourer back then. Just working with my stepdad, general construction, domestic properties, and just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Now, I never really focused on estimating or anything like that. I just went to a careers class at local college and met a guy there called Dave Weatherall, who run a building studies course. Quite interested in it, so I enrolled and went full-time on that at age 16. Loved it, to be honest. Learned not just about roofing, but just about construction from ground up, and really got to know my stuff. Now, after a year of doing that, I managed to get myself an apprenticeship. So I dropped down from full-time studying into working as well as learning. And I got a job at a well-known siphonic drainage company in Sheffield as a junior QS. Now, that in itself were a really good insight into just an office environment, working with colleagues, all different types of roofing, different types of drainage, some amazing projects that they did at the time, Wembley Stadium, Hong Kong Airport, all these amazing roofs which they designed the drainage for. So really got to know my stuff and continued doing that while I finished college. Now, after I finished college, I enrolled onto the higher course, which was at University of Sheffield. And at that point, I was in a bit of a crossroads. I enjoyed working for the siphonic drainage company, but I decided I would probably be better if I got on with a main contractor, an actual contractor doing building, and I managed to just transfer across, continue with the one day studying at university, and then I got an assistant quantity surveying role. Now, at that point, I'll be honest, it was probably the best year for really learning the commercial side of construction. So you're working for a builder, all magnitudes of trades, real front-end quantity surveying, being the assistant, you're on site, you're meeting people, you're doing the measures, doing the evaluations, and absolutely fantastic year while studying at university as well. Unfortunately, that's when the credit crunch hit, 2008, so I was made redundant. But fortunately for me, I had no mortgage, I was still at home, so I managed to just go full-time at university. It's quite interesting, really. So different route throughout my career. A lot of people, a lot of my friends, they start at 16 on an apprenticeship. They go through all the studies while learning, and then crack on fully qualified. I sort of went a few different steps, but ultimately got to the same goal, got my qualifications, and then carried on. Now, at that time when I finished, I worked for a commercial glazing contractor as an estimator. And then I needed to move to West Midlands. So I was travelling from West Midlands to this contractor in Chesterfield, not really knowing what I wanted to do, but just working as such. And it's at that point when I applied for a job at SPV. Didn't actually get it at first. There was another guy already set on a roofing contractor and was going to come across. So, you know, I sort of picked myself back up and carried on applying for other things. But eventually SPV rang me and gave me the job. Now, that was literally my first door into the sector that I've never looked back from. It's interesting what everybody else says. You sort of fall into it and you just discover that you love it. And yes, so I've been solely in the envelope business since then. I joined Institute of Roofing while I were at SPV, and I did a course back in 2015, the Management and Technician course, which was a 19-week course. I believe they call it the Associate course now, but that, after a couple of years of working, especially for a company like SPV, where it's all the different aspects. So I was learning built felt, liquids, cladding, rain screens, even glazing they did. I went on curtain walling courses, hot melt courses, just everything. And then when I did the Institute of Roofing course, which is that one, if you can see it, Management and Technician course, which I believe is now the Associate course, that's when everything just clicked. And I just knew I'd made the right decision, and I've never looked back since, to be honest. Met some amazing people. Continuous development within this industry is just phenomenal. I'm constantly on courses, constantly learning, and getting more strings to the bow, as they say. And yeah.
Hey, Sam, just a quick question, if I could interrupt at this point, because you brought up about taking the class. And I know a lot of our viewers out there may be familiar with the Institute, and they may not, because we have viewers from all over the world. But how were you able to do that? Were you able? Was that a night class that you did while you still were working, or did you take time off to do it during the day?
Well, how we did it back in 2015, I've had a look on website actually today. It's very similar, it's just not as long. But what we did is you enrolled in the Institute of Roofing as an associate, so mm-hmm. the first level. You then do a 19-week day release course. So you release from work one day a week. I did it at King's College in Birmingham. And just looking through the modules, I mean, everything you can imagine. So built up felts, liquids, even asphalt modules. You learn all about Part L of the building regs, health and safety, principles of estimating. I could go on and on and on, and it's 19 weeks, and then you do the exams at the end, which should get you a step up in the Institute, to be fair. But yeah, very interesting course.
Yeah, and I think that's good for our viewers to know, because I think a lot of people get scared that, okay, how do I earn a living while I'm trying to advance my career? So now you know you can get your combination of both. So I thought that was important for the viewers to hear.
Because my route, although through the architectural sort of side of things and design, was the same as Sam's. I was employed full-time, but doing college and university one day a week, which the work, you know, taught me how to do it. The university and the college was more for the certificate more than anything. But is there a similar program in the States, John? I know there's talk about trade school.
There's some that are, there's a multitude of, we're not, I don't want to use the word organized, but we're not as nationalized in a program like it is there, where everybody knows where they can go, what to do. There's multiple avenues over here and everybody's a little bit different. Some of them are full-time. Some of them are work and go at night. Some of them are work and take a day. So it's a combination of all that. But I know we have a lot of hopefully future roofers and estimators and over there in Great Britain. So I wanted to make sure they could hear how that worked, because that's the whole goal of these, is to broadcast our industry out there, because there's nothing better.
Yeah, I think best thing to do is to, if you can get into a company, I mean, the full-time college aspect that I did was great, but you're not really specifically focusing on one thing. Mm-hmm. So when I transferred over to the junior quantity surveyor role, which is very similar to estimate anyway, it's just pre-construction, construction side, they're very similar roles. That's when you do learn, because you're almost touching deep end. You're given the mundane task, but it's the mundane tasks that make you what you are at the end, you know. So, yeah, if anyone's listening and they're wanting an apprenticeship, I think the best thing to do is to approach people, get in there, sit with these guys like myself who's been doing it a while, and then go through the college route and then decide which avenue you want to sit in inside an office within roofing, because there's more than just estimating. There's health and safety, contracts management, procurement, you know, all the different roles. So yeah, just see which one you prefer. Now, I like what Luke said with, you know, going into universities and college and really trying to drive it. I think it's needed. So I'm impressed with that.
Mm. No, definitely. Because I think, like we said before, you know, you think roofie, you think, oh, I'm on the roof, I'm out in the cold. But, you know, I fell in love with roof and I spent 9 years designing tapered schemes. I never went once on a roof. But I saw all the different projects coming in, new build, refurb, you know, with different finishes on top of our insulation. Although we were only supplying our layer, you know, because you could see all the different architectural drawings coming in, all the different, well, some of it was literally sketches on a fag packet that you were designing from as well. So yeah, that variety was what really kept me for 9 years working in the industry as well. Where I met the people, because I think the people make it as well. They're just brilliant.
Yep. And same way here, I think a lot of times people don't realize if being on that roof is not your skill set, you don't want to do that. There are so many other careers that you can still do within the industry that are available out there. And with the proper training and mentorship, you can get to where you want to be. I mean, there's sales, there's estimating, you know, vendors, manufacturers, like you're talking about. There's a whole world available. That's why it's a $1 billion, you know, multi-billion-dollar industry. So.
But I am jealous of Sam, because I would love to be able to actually lay some felt. I think looking at them when they do it, I look at them in awe and I think, wow, that's, you know, I struggle to lay carpet, but when you're working at it with heat and stuff, it's just, these trades guys, because they're skilled tradespeople. And that's what, you know, that's what I want to promote on the website as well. And through these interviews is these people aren't just roofers. These are skilled people that put a lot of time and effort and pride into their work.
You know what, Andrew, one thing I could tell you I've learned throughout my career is there's no such thing in my mind as just a roofer. If you're a roofer, you are skilled. You should not be called a roofer until you've learned the skills. Other than that, you could be a laborer in the construction industry. But I think, yes, that's a stigma that has been attached to us. I remember coming up as a kid in the 60s and into the 70s, you know, you're going to be a roofer. It was like, yeah, I'm going to be a roofer. That's the family's been doing it for three generations and I'm following in the footsteps. You know, it's a great trade. And that's what's important to get out there. It is a skill and it's a lot harder than people realize. It's not just, oh yeah, I can lay that out and go do it. I mean, even cutting into, you know, you need to have some carpentry skills. You got to understand mathematics. You got to understand a little bit of sheet metal. You got to understand, you have to be able to work with your hands and your mind, and you have to be strategic. All of that comes in play. There's a lot going on to get that skill set. Would you agree, Sam?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought it was interesting what you said about the journeyman and you can do it all. I mean, that's phenomenal. I don't really know many guys who could do everything. Certainly in Britain, they're either billet felters, liquid lads, single ply, cladders, zinc lads. There's all sorts of different people. And I don't know if I've met someone who can do them all. So hats off to you for that, mate. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Yeah, thank you. When I came up through, you could not get a journeyman card over here unless you were a full-fledged, from shingles to slate to, you know, steep roof to flat roof. And of course, metal wasn't quite as prevalent when I first came in as it became in the 80s and late 80s and 90s, but we had to learn it. And, you know, you were either a roofer or you were a journeyman. When you got that journeyman card, that's why I hold it, you know, still hold it dear to my heart and, you know, learn all that.
Do you have a preferred system that you just love? Like for me, I mean, I can price pretty much everything on envelope, but I just love pricing hot melt, that new build hot melt jobs and bituminous felts. I mean, that for me, that's just finished one now. I just think I just really enjoy it and doing the takeoffs and finding the details and working it out. And yeah, but is there a particular product you love over a month?
I mean, for me, there's no doubt in my mind that my golden era was during the peak over here of built up roofing, asphalt, coal tar pitch. Yeah. I mean, granted, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. No one enjoys coal tar pitch. It was you burned, it smelled and all that. But I was a mopper, right? My job was to mop that hot tar out. I learned that skill. And when you can swing a mop for 8 hours a day and not be tired, you've learned a skill. And I took a lot of pride in that. So I enjoyed that more in my career than anything I ever did. It was enjoyable. It was a highly skilled set. And, you know, it was competition. There was other people on the roof. You had multiple little mopping, rolling, you know, gangs up on there. And of course it's like running a football game or anything else. You want to come in first, you want to win. So, you know, but the whole key was not to be tired. You had to learn how to do it. It'd kill you. You know, that mop would drive. You couldn't mop for an hour if you didn't learn the technique. You would absolutely be wore down to your knees.
Yeah.
I'll struggle mop on the floor.
Interesting. Similar to hot melt then, yeah. It's like, yeah, developed a bit more on it since then.
But yeah, hot melt. I've done some of that on waterproofing on decks. And when I was in New Jersey, before I moved to Florida in a career, I did you know, probably some larger projects on, you know, because I did a lot of work in the city, New York City areas. Hot melt was very big up in those areas. So we did a lot of that back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Brilliant. Okay.
What you got next for us?
I just obviously, so being in this industry, walking in 2011 and not really knowing anything, I'm just explaining my journey to now, and I've actually been quite hot off press. I've actually got a new role I'm going to. So there's a guy I know called Terry at HKL Specialist Projects. He's does cladding, curtain walling, and he's constantly getting asked by his clients to do the roof. And he's sort of batted it off for years, and he's actually decided to go for it now. So he's opening the roofing division, and I'm going in there as general manager. So
well done.
If I hadn't walked through that door all them years ago, I wouldn't have got that now. So I can assemble a team. I want to sort of emphasise what Kay, Luke and Denise said and get some youngsters in and give back a bit, like I had it given to me probably 16 years ago now, you know. And yeah, so just that's all I wanted to say, really.
No, brilliant.
Excellent.
Are you nervous about that new opportunity, or are you raring for it?
Raring to go. I finished the LRL on Monday. I've got a week off and then crack on.
Right in, well done.
I say I've got a week off, but I've got a lot of tenders in out there. I might be answering some questions, but that's fine. It is, and I don't mind helping them out. But yeah,
that's good. Plenty of them.
Excellent. Is there anything else you want to, you know, want a closing remarks or anything you want to cover on, you know, last word in there for our audience?
Yeah, if anybody's obviously watches this, any young person and they wants to get into it, just hit me up on LinkedIn. I'll help any way I can. Sure we all would, but yeah, no problem at all.
Absolutely. Same here. I know Andrew and I are on LinkedIn. We're very active on there. We always love to hear messages and people reach out, and it's a great little community.
Yeah,
it is.
It's good stuff. Well, I guess we'll close it here for today. It was a fantastic story. Thank you for sharing with us.
No problem.
I wish you the best in your next endeavor. You're getting ready to move in. It sounds exciting. For our audience out there, this is John signing off over here in the U.S. And Andrew, I'll turn it over to you for closing remarks.
No, thank you. I mean, speaking to Sam earlier this week, he's already said that when he's got his first roofs completed, he's going to put them on the map. So
great.
You know, keep an eye out for those. It'd be great to get some more on. I've set a goal of 4,000 roofs by the end of the year. So I've got quite a lot to do. But I love talking to people in the industry because it just continues to reiterate how much pride they have in what they do. Regardless of whether they're on the hands and knees fitting or designing, estimating. But yeah, just guys, keep up the good work. We've got a great industry. Let's promote it and make it well known for
absolutely. Sounds good. All right. Well, we had a great episode. I'm going to sign off for us here. Again, to our audience, keep following us. We try to do these once every month, get a new guest out there. Next month, we're working on somebody from the IFD, and we'll have details out there. And we'll continue, and then maybe after that, we'll got somebody possibly lined up in Canada.
Great.
I know Andrew's got some more guests, so looking forward to it. And see you on the next one. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.